Well, I think one of the key things to pray for is for the Lord to raise up workers for the harvest. The need of the harvest is as big, if not bigger, than when Jesus actually asked the workers to pray for that, the disciples to pray for workers. The need is still great. There are still many parts of the world where the good news of Jesus is needed. And although we can use different means these days, people still need to be discipled in a relationship.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in this awesome country. Formerly, I was reluctant to do cross-cultural work. Now, I'm not so reluctant, and I got my good friend Randy here.
Yeah, and I'm Randy, or Fay-ar-Man, depending on where you live in this world.
And I haven't heard that one in a long time.
And I'm formerly an atheist, and currently I lead a little band of cross-cultural workers that we call SAM USA. So you got any birthdays coming up in your home there soon, Ben?
My youngest, Laylee, it's Haley with an L, she is going to be, I guess, 2, April 16th. So
at our officially. House, whenever we're walking around, you know, you got these little, we call them doingers. I don't know what other people call them. They're like the little thing that stick out behind the wall where the door hits, and you hang it and it goes doing, doing.
I don't know what they're called. I wouldn't have called them that, but makes sense.
Whenever somebody at our house accidentally kicks one of those, mm-hmm. me or Robin, then we say, mm-hmm. oh, Laylee, because yeah. our greatest picture of Laylee is crawling around the floors on our house, finding our doingers, going doing, yeah. doing, doing.
And so fun toy.
She just melts my heart every time I hear one. So who's going to make the cake for Laylee?
Ashley, and there's been a line in the sand drawn between who makes cakes and who doesn't make cakes in our house. And that there's a funny story with cakes in our family. Would you like to hear it?
Well, first of all, the line in the sand, is it Ben refuses to make cakes or Ashley does not allow Ben to make cakes?
I think that's a great question, actually. I think it's probably there's some sensitivity with both of us. So it could be that Ashley just feels like, you know what? Let's not bring this up again when Ben used to make cakes. And I feel like, you know what? I don't want to get into that anymore.
So So you have a history of making cakes. Tell me about your history of making cakes.
Yeah, it's not professional. That's for sure. I went through this phase when Ashley and I first got married of, I guess, needing something to do. Like I was just wanting something to do. And I was a youth pastor, and so I did that gig, and that was fun. But I just needed some sort of hobby, and I don't know why. I just got into making cakes, and at nighttime, you know, I would sit around and just put together some cake mix and bake a cake. And I don't know why. I never upped my game. It was always, I mean, it was pretty basic. I would just have a box cake, and I would find something new to throw in it and figure out, you know, a new way to make it. And
what was the nastiest thing you ever added?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember. Probably something like a fruit, you know, something that's just crunchy, something nasty.
You never tried tuna fish?
No. I'm not crazy. Okay. Like, I mean, it's pretty basic, really basic. And then, you know, I changed up the icings occasionally, you know, make it a little bit like this, a little bit like that, you know, throw in some different flavoring. But, yeah, and I would, you know, take cake around to people, whatever party, show up with the cake. I mean, this is something about someone showing up with a cake, you know. It was a special thing. And a thrill. But yeah, I remember like there's this one evening where she was digging through her wallet and she found this gift card from our wedding, and it was to a container store. And I had never heard of a container store. I think it's literally called the container store. And she was like, oh, let's go to the container store together. And we're like, oh, let's do that. And so we made it a date night. We went to the Container Store to go find a container, like to spend this money. And I was thinking the whole time, like, I'm going to find the perfect container for the size cake that I love to bake. I was into, you know, the standard 9x11 or whatever they're called. And I was really, really wanting a traveling cake container that I could carry around a cake and it wouldn't get sloshed around, that I could, you know, just everywhere I went, it would seal up, perfect travel in the car. And we get there and I'm looking around at this like perfectly sized cake pan, and Ashley is like, no, I don't want that one. I want this size. And immediately, like, I just felt my body tense up, like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't bake the cakes in this family. I bake the cakes here. Like, what's happening?
I am the caker.
I'm the cake maker here. And I kid you not, like, an argument ensued. An argument started that didn't end for the next probably hour and a half, 2 hours. And so it started in the Container Store, and it kind of built up and built up. And maybe you've been newly married before, and you just, it's a standard thing that can happen. And we started arguing, and one thing led to the other. And it was like, you know what? This is something I've been doing. You haven't been making cakes. I have been making cakes. I would like to get to choose the size container. Anyway, it got a bit crazy, and we drove back angry, not speaking, and we parked in a little parking spot outside of our apartment we were renting. And we sat in the car for like another hour just arguing. Now, about what, and it really wasn't about the cake, right? Like, it was about something else. I couldn't even tell you, but it was.
But let me
wasn't
ask
about
this.
That.
Let me ask this.
Yeah.
Did you buy the cake container that day?
That's a great question. Did we buy the cake container? We ended up not buying the cake container, I'm pretty sure. I'll have to ask Ashley. Because, I don't even remember.
Because I saw this meme one time, and it said, my girlfriend wanted a cat. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want a cat, so we compromised and got a cat. And so,
yeah, I have this vision of the round cake traveling cake container, like in our house. It's not the right one. So somehow we have the wrong one. I don't know if we got it that night or if she went back later and got it. I don't know.
So you're thinking that
we have the wrong one.
You wanted a square one, and she wanted a round one, and so you compromised and got a round one.
We have a round one. I don't know when we got it. I didn't get it.
I hope this doesn't cause a whole new fight. But
I'm gonna ask as soon as I get home.
Yeah. Now, speaking of making, when you think of,
oh, we stretched it today. Didn't we?
When you think of Jesus saying, "Go make disciples," in what ways is that similar to making a cake?
Oh gosh, you know, there's probably an equation, lots of ingredients, things to weigh, things to take out, things to put in.
A container, I guess.
Maybe a container.
So I've been, just last week when Joshua, he made this statement, he said something like, the work that's left to be done is more than the work that was left to be done on the day that Jesus said it. Like, for me, that was, I went back and looked at the numbers. Last week, I think I said in his life, there was something like 100 million in the world. It turns out that the estimates that I see range from 150 to 450 million.
So significantly less than today.
Significantly less than today. Key. Significantly more than what I said last week.
Yeah.
And then the people in India alone today that are living and dying without ever meeting one Christian is more than a billion.
Yeah.
So the amount of people that will die without ever hearing about Jesus from a Jesus follower in India today is more than the whole world when Jesus said that. So I've just, for me, I kind of...
Substantially more than the entire world population when Jesus was around.
You just look, just India, if you only focused on India. And my wife and I, we've kind of figured out about each other that we respond to overwhelming things differently.
How does your wife respond to overwhelming things?
She just works.
How do you respond?
I take a nap. That's just the reality. Like, mm-hmm. if I look at something that needs to be done, mm-hmm. and it's just too big, and yeah. I can't possibly succeed, mm-hmm. I take a nap. And she just works like crazy. You can imagine that that's caused a fight or two.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can totally imagine.
There's this one cartoon, you can look it up, where it shows a picture of like a stork with a frog in its mouth. Yeah. And the frog has his arms around the throat of the stork. And the subtitle is Never Give Up. And I always say that's my wife. My wife is, she's just like, she's a fighter. Mm-hmm. And she'll just keep working and keep mm-hmm. doing the right thing in the face of an overwhelming task, whether she can win or not. So I really respect that about her. And I'll sit down and do a calculation.
I'm wondering if you guys, the both of you, were sitting among the 11 here, hearing Jesus say, okay, go make disciples of all nations. So I wonder how you guys would have responded. I mean, you wouldn't have taken a nap, would you?
it's something I've struggled about because, you know, just after last week, hearing Joshua say that, and then I think of the Matthew 9:38 prayer mm-hmm. campaign that we have going on, because, you know, you see the people are like sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah.
There's all these people unreached. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just sitting down to take a nap. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And so I think as I've processed it, I think the answer is Jesus, well, with these 11 disciples, do I really in my core believe that he expected them to personally finish the job? Hmm. What do you think? Do you think he expected that?
No.
I don't either.
Yeah, what is it that he wanted them to do, you know?
And what he said was, make disciples of all nations, yep. mm-hmm. going, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and teaching obedience mm-hmm. to all that I've commanded. And so what I'm thinking is that make disciples, that's kind of like, I don't know, if you're a Greek nerd,
yeah,
make disciples is the core thing. Mm-hmm. And everything else modifies it. So it's make disciples where, make disciples of all nations or from where, mm-hmm. make disciples of all nations, all cultures, all whatevers. Mm-hmm. So make disciples. And then the subverbs is going, baptizing, teaching. Mm-hmm. So make disciples. If it was like making a cake, then I would have control of the elements. I'd bring those elements together. Mm-hmm. I'd bake them the way I wanted them, and I'd put them in a good cake container that was square.
Yeah. Kind of know the end product, I guess. It's pretty
pretty
mapped out.
I would be the master. The cake would be the slave.
You could also replicate that pretty easy by getting a lot of ovens and a lot of people and get a factory going.
So in the whole make... The make equation, I don't think it's like making a cake. I think it's different. Hmm. What are some of the ways that it's different?
It's not easy. Like,
yeah, I mean, making a cake is not easy either.
Well, I mean, I made box cakes. That's pretty easy. Hard to screw it. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's not necessarily easy.
How hard or easy it is, I don't think that's the chief difference.
Okay. What about the time that it takes?
That's let's think of the materials. What's different about the materials related to making a cake and the materials related to making a disciple?
Eggs.
So the cake has eggs. Do they have a will of their own?
No. They're, just sitting there.
They're inanimate objects. Right. You can force them to your will.
Yeah.
And that's the goal. The goal is to force the elements in the cake into the image that you want them to be.
Yeah, fully under your control, created things, but able to be manipulated into a sequence to produce a certain outcome or product cake.
Ultimately, you want that cake to conform to your will.
Yeah. People don't do that necessarily.
Is that the goal?
That's a good question. Do we want? Yeah, no.
Are you making disciples of Ben?
No.
You're making disciples of all nations. When he says that, I mean, like, if you make the cake into the image that you want it to conform to,
yeah,
it's sort of like you're making a cake of Ben.
Yeah. It's kind of icky to think about. Like, we're supposed to be relating to people. We're supposed to be in people's lives in such a way that we're, you know, caring and burden, taking on burdens, concerned about the things they're concerned about. And it would be real icky if we were just in it for them to do exactly what we want them to do, or to represent us, or to go and share how awesome Ben is.
So the techniques for making a cake is you take the ingredients, you put them together, you mix them, and you bake them. The mm-hmm. techniques for make disciples is going, baptizing, and teaching obedience.
Mm-hmm.
When it says make disciples, is there any way we can... So what I want to say, here's what I want to say, Ben. I want to mm-hmm. say we're making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to say. And I want to say that it's in the text. That we're not making disciples of Ben and Randy, but we're making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to say because it's comfortable to me. Is there anything here that would support that idea? That they were not making disciples of Peter, that they were not making disciples of John, that they were making disciples of Jesus Christ?
Well, I mean, they're to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Baptizing Father. In the name of the Father, the
and
Son.
And he's literally said, all authority, you know, has been given to me.
And then he said, I'm with you always.
Yeah.
Even to the end of the age.
Yeah.
So the implication there is probably that if you're baptizing him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that the Jesus is going to be with those that were baptized in that name.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
That's my guess.
And so teaching obedience to all that Jesus commanded. So you're not teaching them to identify with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Peter.
Right.
That there's the baptizing is an identification with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So these disciples, these were disciples, they were to go. So one of the mechanisms of disciple making is presence, is physical presence.
Yeah.
And then identification with Jesus and the Father and the Spirit.
Yeah.
A baptism. So it's me being present, me getting the people to identify with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit directly in baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And then me teaching obedience to everything that Jesus commanded, and me giving them the assurance that Jesus is with them always, even to the end of the age. Yeah. So I think I'm comfortable that Jesus was not telling them to go and make disciples of themselves.
Yeah, for sure. I'm also comfortable with that.
So when we talked last week a little bit, or even now, about the overwhelming nature of the task, like even reaching the people of India.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's another way to think of it, right? We've got more than 1 billion Christians and less than 6 billion people.
Yeah.
If every Christian just reaches out to 6 people, everybody could hear in this lifetime.
Yeah, the math works out. We can do it on paper really quick. I can't, but you could.
I feel comfortable that I could share Jesus with 6 people before I die.
Yeah.
And then we could be done with this thing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you wanted to have that as a goal, you could theoretically tell God, hey, I did my 6.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that because I have already shared with six.
Yeah. So you could be done, you know, mathematically speaking.
Right. I could calculate that and I could have peace in my heart that I did my part.
Maybe.
I don't get the sense. I somehow don't get the sense that that meets the spirit of the thing.
No, it doesn't meet the spirit of the thing. It's true.
At the same time, I could just see that I can't possibly finish this task. Like there's 3 billion and I know for sure that I can't reach them all. And so I could just spend every day of my life feeling like a failure because I'm not going to, there's no way I can personally accomplish this.
Yeah.
And I've been commanded to do it.
Yeah.
So I mean what's the point? Just take a nap.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, when you read this, do you think that Jesus is trying to make a bunch of people feel guilty and drive them through, you know, drive them by guilt?
These 11 guilt or just a sense of inadequacy their whole life. It's like, he told us to make disciples of all nations, and we only got to 12.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously we're failures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the sense that's what Jesus wants.
Mm-hmm.
What does he want?
Yeah, what does he want?
For those 11. I suppose he wants them to abide in him.
Yeah.
To be so close with him that they identify with the things he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, he's saying, I care about people of all nations having disciples among them.
Yeah, can you care about that too? I would say the spirit of it is that, you know.
And when Jesus, when we care about what Jesus cares about, mm-hmm. it seems like he expects it results in action.
Yeah. So what does that look like? What does it mean for people to care about it? Does it mean they all pack up their bags?
So Peter was one of the 11 there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a Peter expert, but mm-hmm. I think Peter spent the majority of his ministry life in Greater Jerusalem area.
Okay.
I mean, we read in the book of Acts that he did go to Cornelius' house.
Yeah.
That he was involved in making disciples outside of the Jewish people.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like that was the majority of what he was doing.
So he stayed in a pretty central location to where he was, like, living, right? Like, yep. He stayed in a general area.
I think so. And mm-hmm. when I read the book of 1st and 2nd Peter, I don't get the sense that he felt like a failure because he didn't go to all the nations.
Yeah. So he didn't feel guilty.
I don't know if he felt guilty or not, but yeah. But it seems like he did care about what Jesus cared about.
Yeah.
And he did express that he cared
mm-hmm.
through actions.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good image.
Let's go back to this whole cake making thing. I just want to circle back now that we chatted a bit. There's this making disciples.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of making disciples, it's almost like reproducing, isn't it?
Yeah, replication. Reproduction. Yeah, sure.
It's like
reproducing
a cell that splits, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a, there's a making that happens. It's a being making, I think. Mm-hmm. It's a abiding in Jesus, having his presence in you and with you, and then going, and the making that happens is almost like a multiplying.
Yeah.
It's a making by multiplying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's different than making a cake because it's a living, growing, reproducing thing that you're making with a will of its own.
Yeah, it's true.
So in our relationship, Ben and Randy, who's making who?
That's a good point. Well, since you are the co-host, I would like to think I'm making you right now.
I think you're right. I do feel that in our relationship, I'm being made into a better disciple of Jesus Christ.
That's cool. I mean, it's hard to believe. I feel the same. But I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, just thinking back to relationships that I had when I was in Central Asia, I had a business partner. I was born a poor farmer.
Yeah.
And I just learned a lot from that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about faith and was he making me a disciple? And it's a hard one. Actually, I can tell you, I'm just thinking back to some friends from Latin America.
Yeah.
And if they happen to hear this podcast and we happen to decide to play it, they're going to be upset because a disciple maker is making something that wasn't there before. And so what they would say is when you make a cake, it starts off with other ingredients and then you make it and then it's a cake. And when you make disciples of Jesus Christ, they start off as not disciples of Jesus Christ. And then they see his goodness and they believe, and then they are made into a disciple of Jesus Christ. So what was not has become, and that's different than journeying with somebody through the sanctification process and helping them grow. So they would say that Ben is not making Randy a disciple and Randy is not making Ben a disciple.
It's true.
But rather we are encouraging and growing and sharpening one another as iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, I wonder why I wonder why it's different. Is there like a, I don't know. Interesting. I like to think it feels like one and the same. It's hard to imagine. Does that make sense? Like it's a fluid.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's not one and the same in that sense, but I see what you're saying though.
I think if a person is born again many times, there's a decent chance that they were never born again once.
Yeah.
That there's a special.
Pretty high chance.
There's a special sort of thing that happens when your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And you go from death to life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That's a special making that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then part of making that he's making disciples is different than I'm struggling here because teaching obedience to all that Jesus commanded is part of what you do for me.
Yeah.
And so that part of disciple making.
Yeah.
Clearly, you're involved in my life.
Yeah.
Clearly, you were not involved in the transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light.
That's right.
So it must be that making disciples is more than seeing people believe in Jesus, because that would be the baptism part. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Make disciples is going, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching obedience to everything I commanded.
Yeah, I mean, it really captures an ongoing process of someone joining a community, like you said, passing from darkness to light, you know, the kingdom of darkness to light. And what the heck do we do now? Like, it kind of captures all of it to where it requires you or somebody with the presence of God to be with that person for an extended period of time. I would say a life. Like, I mean, you can't, at any point that I don't have someone teaching me what it's like to obey, am I growing in my faith? Like, do I have it enough in myself to know how to obey? No, I can't imagine a season of my life without that, without someone teaching me.
That person that came to my mind that would take exception to this description of making each other disciples, as I think about it, they had a particular disciple maker from their, when they were new Christians, that they looked back to as the disciple maker that made them. But now my disciple maker, the one that I was born again with, he died not too long after that. So am I just lost then? There's nobody. That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. Nobody left to make me. And I don't think that's obviously not the point. Obviously,
yeah,
it's not meant to be that I started you, and so I need to finish you.
That's right.
That
well, the math doesn't work on that, does it?
and so that obviously it's just making disciples of Jesus Christ, making disciples of all nations is a community sport.
Yeah, for sure.
It's Ben'll grow for a time now. I'll grow for a time now. There will be other people that have different kinds of input. And then in the next season, somebody else will be making, but to make disciples of all nations, obviously, or maybe not obviously, but my sense is that it's not commanded that I would personally go to every nation and talk to one person out of every nation and do everything that's needed to take them through baptism and obeying everything. and learning obedience to everything Jesus commanded. So I think it boils down to, what does Jesus want from Randy? And I think what he wants is for Randy to actually care about what he cares about and express that he cares through action.
Yeah. And it's we, right? Like, it's, there is a sense of, you know, we are going, not just me. It's not just on me. There's other people, community involved.
Yes, I'm convinced. I'm convinced that it's we. I'm convinced that it's not meant that I would carry a burden that's too heavy for me. Mm-hmm. That the burden Jesus gives is light. The yoke is easy and the burden is light. I can come to him. I can trust him. I can listen to him. I can love him. And I can obey him, and he'll be fully satisfied. So one of the ways that I cope with what seems like an overwhelming thing is to take on bite-sized chunks.
Okay.
Is to say, instead of looking at reaching all the nations and going to every single one and making a disciple personally.
Yeah.
You know, Robin and I went to Central Asia and learned a language. Currently, the number of Americans that I think need to be sent to the nations is a lot. Way more than I can talk to.
Yeah.
But what I do is I think through who are the people I know, and I actually talk to them. And I do pray, like every morning at 9:38 a.m., SIM USA sends out a text with one more story of one more person who thinks God might be calling them. And I can pray for that person. I can obey and pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into his own harvest field. I think for me, this has been good counseling. Thank you. I feel better, actually.
As always. Likewise.
The confidence, I have a strong confidence at this point that Jesus's end goal with these disciples was not that they would feel guilty and unable to please him.
Yeah.
But that they would care about what he cared about, and they would express that care through action.
Yeah, I think so.
Lord God, we I'm thankful that you're not calling us to make disciples of Randy and Ben, that you're not calling us to be in control of the process, but you're calling us to simply go, baptize and teach people to identify closely with you, being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything you commanded, knowing that you're with us always, even to the end of the age, and that caring and truly caring about what you care about and expressing that care in action is a suitable response. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that He has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where He is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.